to the 30th episode of Season 2 of the Indo-Techno Podcast. Selamat datang semuanya. I'm Alan Hallowell, founder of tech consultancy Gizmo Advisors and venture partner at Alpha JWC Ventures. Today we examine that sprawling part of the Indonesian retail landscape referred to as the quote-unquote fragmented trade. This is the long-tail part of the retail economy. It is where we find mom-and-pop stores, warungs, independent supermarkets, mini-markets, and local chains. It is not small. It represents roughly 50 to 80% of the sales of a leading consumer packaged goods, or CPG player, like Procter & Gamble or Unilever. Much of this part of the retail offline world in Indonesia is quote-unquote black box to these CPG brands. That is to say, once it has passed its products to wholesalers and distributors, many brands have virtually no awareness of the ultimate sellout data, meaning the point at which the product is sold to the end consumer. In other words, they're selling into the dark. Today's guest, Philip Stegman, has built EOS, which is devoted to collecting big data at that retail endpoint to both better inform brands and also help the shopkeeper do everything from preventing stockouts to increasing sales with well-timed promotions. Great to have you join us today, Philip.
Alan, I'm very happy to be here today. Many thanks for having me. Looking forward to our chat.
Likewise. Now, Philip, you're originally from Germany. Can you describe that path which led you out here to Singapore several years back?
Yes, of course. It's many years, actually. Well, first time I came here was 2003. I was studying here at the NUS in Singapore, and of course, as a student, also traveled around a lot in the region, and then already was fascinated by the richness of culture, by the dynamics of the people, and of course, the good food. I then, after my studies, started my career first back in Germany, working with a CPG brand, with a retail company back then, before I moved then here back again to Singapore, first employed, but then at some point co-founded this company, EOS.
Fantastic. Thanks for that background. Now, EOS is the merger of Emporio Analytics and Y Receipts. I think it might be useful first to describe each of these companies in isolation, and then maybe walk us through the merged entity. So, Philip, can you first tell us about the Emporio Analytics side of EOS? What is the genesis of this company?
I co-founded Emporio Analytics back in 2015. And back then, it was an analytics consulting company here in Southeast Asia. We were working on big data projects in CPG, FMCG environments. So what we did was actually we partnered with retailers, with big names such as Fairprice, Redmart, Family Mart in Thailand, for example, the Aeon Group in Malaysia, or Spar International, which you maybe know, and we worked with them in markets, even like Ireland, Italy, and Russia. And what we always did was we received their granular transaction data. We applied data science, we built our own models to create insights, which are relevant for shopper marketing. And then we made those insights available to companies like the big CPG companies, like Nestle, like Unilever, like Ferrero, like Brown-Forman, etc. So during this time, we built a lot of knowledge how big data is consumed, how big data is utilized by big brands, and how it helps them to optimize their shopper marketing. And I think we were at that time one of the pioneers in Southeast Asia in this space.
Very useful background. Now, can you, on the other hand, describe what Y Receipts is all about?
Y Receipts is one of the leading retail tech companies based in the UK, basically, more in the area of receipt marketing, digital receipts, data automation, etc. And over the past, I think, 7-8 years, they have built unique capabilities in the area of APOS, of cashier agnostic data capture and automation. So they would usually work with high street stores. So some of their customers are, and they're still our customers, the North Face, Timberland, Lego, such stores. And we work with them in over 40 countries. But it's a little bit of different value proposition for those customers. So it's about data, it's about receipt automation, but it's a very unique technical capability here.
Got it. So two very different companies, but I can see some common elements. So maybe you can walk us through the thinking behind this merger. Why would we want to merge Emporio Analytics and Y Receipts?
That's indeed a good question. Basically, as I said before, we as Emporio have worked with all these CPG companies, Nestle, Unilever, etc. And our clients were very happy with what we do with the modern retailers. And they asked us, can you do the same for fragmented trade? So can you do the same for small mom and pop shops, etc.? Because we are entirely in the dark there. And then this was the moment. This was a bit of an eureka moment, I think, where I saw this opportunity. And when we dig deeper into this field and this segment of retail, we saw that there's currently no data ecosystem in this fragmented trade. And that was the starting point when I reached out to Wireseeds, which, by the way, is co-founded by my brother. And we started discussions to come together and to work together, because both technologies we have, so our on the Emporio side, the data analytics, the FMCG knowledge rooted in Southeast Asia on the one side, and on the other side, the EPOS agnostic data automation on the other side. This is the secret formula how we can unlock this massive global opportunity of big data automation and fragmented trade. And that's why very soon after some partnership, we really decided to merge those companies together and build EOS.
So clearly, Philip, your parents put in the serial of you and your brother something odd that resulted in both of you entering into the same broad industry, but on different sides of the earth. Is that correct?
That is correct. We also don't know how this happened. It was not planned, obviously. But at some point, we are now complementing each other, and it's a very great adventure.
I can imagine it's an extremely important glue when we're talking about connecting business models that are separated by 12 or 15 time zones.
Yeah, and not only that, we also merged during the pandemic. So we could not really meet. We could not even bring our people together, which we usually would do, right, in a merger. So it is very important that there is a level of trust and that we know each other. And this, of course, helped us a lot here.
Excellent. Now, are there any specific elements of Wireseeds technology that we have successfully incorporated for our clientele in the more developing markets of Southeast Asia?
So basically, the beauty of this merger is that we are basically using the exact same technology in a high street luxury fashion store on Fifth Avenue as we are using now in an independent small mini market in Kalimantan. So we have one technology platform in the end, which allows retailers of all size, of all scale, to work with data in a better way. And also on the other hand, actually, we are also, of course, bringing our core technologies, the Wireseeds technology and experience we bring to independent merchants here in Southeast Asia. But we're also bringing the big data expertise and analytics expertise to our customer base in high street retail in other markets. At the same time, we also know that the technology is the same, and that's great. That makes the whole thing very scalable. But of course, our solutions layer on top is highly customized, because we know that a store assistant in the UK has a different behavior and different expectation than a merchant of a mom and pop store in Indonesia, or a CPG brand has another experience and expectations. So we are using the same technology. It's fully integrated, but we are building unique solutions and propositions on top.
Truly unique, because I'm very much used to inviting guests on who have built companies that they claim to be the mirror image of a company in China or the US. But in this case, in our very DNA, we have two different companies, but which are very symbiotic with each other.
Most of the startups I observe right now are helping merchants to become more efficient. So they have maybe better ordering process through a B2B marketplace. They have maybe better bookkeeping, or help them to operate their store more efficiently. That's also very valid, but we are really focusing on the sell-out side of things. I think we are the only, or we are one of the few companies which really focusing on the sales performance part of things. So we are helping the merchants to sell more. And that's also our pitch towards merchants. We say, connect your store and grow your sales. The only thing a merchant needs to do is to install a tiny little app on their cashier system. It works entirely in the background. It observes all the transaction happening in the store, etc. It learns and it enables to run the best price promotions, for example, which help to grow the sales automatically. All seamless, all automatic, all funded by the brands. And then we have certain other services we give to the brands, which they currently don't get from others. We help them to learn about their sales performance, give them benchmarks, for example, give them advice and alerts if something is out of stock, for example, and we can easily connect them to value-adding services we talked before about, so bookkeeping services or something, without the need to type in things manually. That's on the merchant side. And on the brand side, there's also, I think, a very clear value proposition and a very unique proposition we have for them. You said it in your introduction statement. The brands currently have very limited visibility into what's happening in this channel. They know what they sell in, but they don't know really what is my sellout, what is the shopping behavior like, what is the pricing in the stores, where is an out of stock happening, what is my market share actually, and they want to act on it. We call this revenue growth management. In modern environments with big chains, etc., brands have access to more data. They can collaborate with the headquarters of a supermarket chain to analyze data, to react on this. In fragmented trade, there is no such headquarter or integrated data ecosystem. And EOS is now more or less the virtual headquarters for those shops. So we provide granular, real-time insights for the entire category, even on store level, to be truly actionable.
So, Philip, I understand, and I love the imagery of the virtual headquarters. Can you give us a real-life example of this technology at work?
Well, there was something very interesting happening just in the past few months. Maybe you have heard about the rumors going on in Indonesia that the beer brand Milk could prevent a COVID-19 infection. This has led to panic buying of this brand. Prices went up drastically. There were out-of-stock situations. Competitors' brands are overtaken easily, which has a long-term effect for those brands, of course. So this happened at the beginning of June. We can see newspaper articles about this after 2 or 3 weeks. The traditional ways to measure such things would be to give insights after maybe 1.5 months, because there's always a delay. There's many manual processes currently with traditional measurements. We and our clients saw this already after one day. We saw that something unusual is happening, and that enables our clients to react with campaigns right away, to react with better supply, to maybe implement cross-buying promotions right away, and react with defend mechanism to protect their brand, etc., etc. So that's a good example how real-time and granular insights can really help.
I suspect that a large part of the Indotechno audience are milk drinkers, so I'm sure they'll understand that example.
Another issue we solve for brands is the limitations they have in implementing targeted promotional campaigns. And that's usually a main marketing tool. A lot of CPG marketing budget goes into shopper and trade marketing. But due to the fragmentation and due to the multiple distribution layers you have with wholesalers, etc., it is not easy for brands to implement promotions, for example, buy two, get 10% off promotion types, and to make sure it really reaches the shoppers in the end. So it always takes a few weeks to implement those campaigns. You never have data to measure the effectiveness usually, et cetera. It's totally black box. So we entirely disrupt this process. And basically with a click of a button, brands can start a highly targeted campaign in store and even quickly measure the return on invest of this campaign. So basically we solve three major problems for brands: real-time, actionable, granular insights of the sellout, targeted in-store campaigns, and ROI measurement of all marketing activities.
Understood. Now, Philip, how do we make our money?
It's important to know that merchants do not pay anything at all. It's entirely free for them. We are, in the end, a data company, a data platform. So every use case we create with the data could be a report, could be a promotion, could be feeding data into a third-party system, creates value. And usually the party who has the marketing budgets will pay to unlock this value. Usually it's the CPG brands or maybe partner startups who are using our data, etc.
Now, Philip, many players in the broader space admit that training the mom and pop, and moreover, keeping them loyal to a certain solution, can be very costly. Is this also a challenge for us?
I definitely can see that it is a huge challenge for many startups out there. Luckily, it's not for us. We looked at this and we also said the only way we can solve this is with automation. So we believe in automation. We don't want to change behaviors. We have designed a system in a way that it's entirely seamless, runs in the background, and the merchant doesn't have to do anything. It just works. Of course, we are also improving further and we are also learning, and the experience will also be better and better in the future. But basically, that's our philosophy. It works great, and it is a big advantage compared to other solutions.
Understood. Philip, are there many other players across the startup landscape that we partner with currently, or that you feel would definitely benefit from partnering with us in the future?
What we are building here is of interest for many, many other startups and apps. We are building a data ecosystem. I would maybe call it the rails for independent retail here in the market. We are building a digital network. We have integration into the cashier of each store, which enables and unlocks a lot of values for many other startups. We can help them to automate their processes and overcome the challenges we have just discussed with loyalty and with training of the merchants. But we are also at the beginning of this. So we are in some talks with some players, and we will definitely do more. And we are also always open for more ideas. And I think basically many startups can benefit from this. It could be payments, could be the B2B marketplace for automated ordering, could be loyalty systems which are automatically applied, could be fintech or maybe financial companies who want to use our data for better scoring of loans to merchants, could be e-commerce platforms who can onboard the merchants much quicker with automatic product and price listings with a click of a button, basically. So we want to establish this ecosystem and connect all these startups, because in the end, it will really help the merchants. And we want to support the merchants who play such an important role in the local communities.
Clearly a number of very interesting partnership opportunities there. Now, it was originally the good people at Unilever who introduced me to you a few years back as proof of their improving ability to see how product was being trafficked at the retail endpoints. What has our history been with Unilever in particular?
Unilever has been and still is a great partner for us. I think it was back in 2017. We started to work with Unilever when we joined the Unilever Foundry startup collaboration program there, and which is a great institution and team which connects the Unilever teams with startups. And since then, we have done various projects together in many markets, also outside Indonesia and also outside fragmented trade. But for sure, in this product and this solution, Unilever helped us to realize our vision. And we are very happy that we really can create a value and a benefit for them and a sustainable benefit for them.
And what other MNC brands do we work with intensively?
Our solution is absolutely a solution for all CPG companies out there. We work, for example, with Johnson & Johnson, with Danone, with Beiersdorf, with PC Cousins, and also other big international brand companies. And we are all solving the same problem for them, and we get really great feedback.
That's great to hear. Do we work much with local Indonesian brands?
Yes, we do. And I think the solution is, of course, also extremely relevant for local brands. For example, we worked with Mayora on several initiatives, and we can see that the fragmented trade is very important for local brands to also defend their position against international brands. The thing is that fragmented trade is not only a sizable market, but it is also very relevant for brand building. Households who start discovering new brands, who maybe have more disposable income available, they usually discover brands first in their neighborhood stores, in their local stores. So it's very important that you are present there, that you can measure actually who is buying my brand, and that you start there already to build your brand loyalty. So that's equally important for MNCs, but also for local brands to stay relevant here as well.
That is a great story. I remember following that over the 15 years I covered China, the rise of the middle class, and being able to tap them when they were still in a third tier market on their way to the coast and beginning to form their brand affiliations. That was the most important investment that a lot of the brands made. Now, Philip, our current focus is on players such as independent grocery shops, which must be an absolute menagerie of devices, high-end and low-end Android devices, various POS systems, and other types of electronics. Yet we claim to be device agnostic. We don't have to integrate with any EPOS devices, and we can work in any environment. How have you been able to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we are so unique, because we have cracked it, and we have cracked it in a scalable way. We have bi-directional connection into every cashier, regardless of the POS software or regardless of the POS hardware setup. And on top, we are an entirely software play. We are a software-first company. So we have even no hardware maintenance, device management need, etc., and have full scalability. Of course, it is our IP, and forgive me if I cannot disclose too much about this. So far, we have proven the scalability with hundreds and thousands of different POS setups, and we fully avoid dependency on other systems. And here also, we invest a lot in improving this further because also the technology and the market is, of course, developing this further. But I think also the integration on the till, on the POS, is not the only unique part here. Another piece of our IP is what happens in our backend. It needs a lot of logic to harmonize, to automate all the different data streams, which are all different. And I think we have done a lot of investment here to crack this with a lot of data science, modeling, AI, automation. And so far, I have not seen any other company who's doing it at the scale like us. And that's also a key to unlock the value here.
Understood. Now, we've talked about how our solution allows the merchant to avoid stockouts, propose promotions for maybe inventory that's aging, and otherwise help drive sales. Can you give us a real-life example of what quantifiable improvements the use of the AO solution has created for the merchant and the brand owner?
For example, we can see year-on-year growth of merchant who use our system versus merchant who do not use our system of 15%. And given the early stage we are in, that's already a great result. And of course, if you have sales growth of this size, this of course also means that the sell-in is also higher because they need more products to sell in the end. We can also see very high return on invests for our marketing campaigns because they are really targeted. So it's not seldom that we see ROIs of 10 times on certain marketing campaigns. So we can really see good results. But of course, it's always very dependent on what category you are in, how promotion sensitive your shoppers are in this category. There are a lot of influencing factors. So the numbers are always very different from category to category or from brand to brand. But we can clearly see positive results. And that's also why many of our clients and merchants stay with us.
Understood. Now, I assume that despite our best efforts and the success of our platform, a lot of transactions still remain untraceable, whether it is someone paying cash at the till and no transaction being logged, or business leaking otherwise. How do we manage this challenge?
I would say that's a reality of big data in the end. By the way, we also track cash payments. It's not just bound on card payments or wallet payments. We track every transaction which is logged in the EPOS. But of course, some are not logged in the EPOS. It can happen. And I think that's the reality of big data, as I said. You will never trace everything. But the sheer amount of data you have gives you a very good basis for understanding. You cannot expect that every communication of one person will happen only on Facebook. People still talk on the phone sometimes. But yet, the huge amount of data you have available gives you a very good insight for marketers. And usually, you can expect that there's also a normalizing effect. So the interactions you have there, you can measure very well. And this is also happening in our case. We are now tracking around 150 million shopping trips per year just in Indonesia, and it's growing. And by this, we are already the largest FMCG receipt database in Indonesia, actually. So we have a very rich database of information where we can see patterns and trends and can derive actions. In grocery, at the same time, the problem, I think, is also not too big, because merchants also realize that they can only manage a grocery store with a growing assortment with 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 products with some help of technology. So usually the ones who have a POS already, they're also using it. But of course, there are exceptions, of course, and this we need to take into account. So what we also do is we have implemented a lot of validation rules to identify which insights are really valid, which is biased, where is a gap, etc. And where's potentially also fraud, of course. And there it helps us that we have learned a lot during the past 7 years of dealing with big data in retail. And we have there a lot of validation logics. What we can also see, actually, a very interesting effect is the more added value we unlock with every receipt, the more campaigns we run, the more maybe extra services we give to the merchants, the more the merchants will use their EPOS, because then they see the benefit from using it. It's not just tracking a sales, but it's also, oh, suddenly a promotion come out, etc. So I think maybe this will also have an effect at some point.
Yeah, the classic virtuous cycle. Now, Philip, what are our growth expectations for 2021 and 2022?
We definitely have big growth plans in Indonesia, but also globally. We will grow stores. We will create more and more data use cases. We will onboard more CPG brands. the problem we are solving here is anyway a global phenomenon. It's not just happening in Indonesia. So we are starting in Indonesia, but it's not just happening in Indonesia. It's also happening in other Southeast Asian markets. It's happening in India. It's happening in African markets, Latin American markets, even in developed countries in some specific retail segments. So fragmented retail is a black box. We unlock big data automation here at scale. And this is our foundation for growth. So we will grow our networks in the countries where we are in. We are also expanding into other countries. We are investing further in our technologies. So all our direction is about growth.
Understood. Well, Philip, I learned a tremendous amount today, and I hope our audience did too. Thanks a lot specifically for so patiently describing Indonesia's fragmented retail industry structure, where we play in this complex web, and what efficiencies and other benefits we deliver to the ecosystem. Please do make sure you come back again to the IndoTechno podcast to share the future innovations that you have on your roadmap, yeah?
Fantastic, Alan. Yes, I will. And thank you very much. I enjoyed a lot.
Excellent. We hope our listeners have enjoyed today's episode. As always, please consider sharing any feedback that you have about the IndoTechno podcast with us. Terima kasih telah mendengarkan. Sampai jumpa lagi.